I greet you all this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. May he be the one who leads and guides us. May he be the one that we all seek as we come together and for his worship this morning. Very warm welcome, particularly to some visitors with us. It's good to have you. And may God bless you in a particular way as you're gathered with us this morning. I also want to, apart from the various notices that are printed out for you, I don't really need to emphasize too many of them, but I do want to extend my thanks for your part in all the busy activities of last Sunday. It really was a very full day, and I do appreciate your input into the day, and pray that God will bless that as well. So just again to urge you to make use of the notices that are printed and put the relevant things in your diaries and keep them all in your prayers. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And so let us worship our God, turning to sing to his praises. Sing the first praise this morning is in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, as you'll find it on page 192. And we sing the verses marked 1 through to 7, 5 stanzas. Oh, praise the Lord! How good it is to sing him songs of praise! How pleasant to give thanks to him for all his gracious ways! And so through to the verse marked 7, standing to sing Psalm 147, and remain standing after that for prayer together.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So now let us pray together. O Lord, Almighty God, how great are your mercies. We come with our prayers and in acts of worship through your own beloved Son, Christ Jesus, praising and thanking you for your gifts of mercy and grace in him. By virtue of his sacrifice of himself on the cross, O Lord, we seek your forgiveness for our sins. Grant us a hearing in our prayers, in our worship, because we seek to come only through faith in him and in his giving of himself for our sins. And by him, O Lord, in grace, heal and renew us. It is our own need. We cry from troubled spirits that you will restore us. But may these things be also for your own name's sake, for your glory. You, O Lord, are truly worthy of all glory and honor and blessing. And enable us by renewal to lift up your praise, to lift up your name. And all the more, day by day, O Lord, out of your salvation, cause us to look on all things with thanksgiving, and on all our tasks as settings for your glory, your honor. Our prayer then, O Lord, as we are gathered here today, O gracious God, is that we may indeed draw near to you, knowing that you are amongst us. And as you are amongst us, O Lord, heal our sicknesses, have mercy on us in our distresses, stop us in our foolishnesses, and in all things, make your strength perfect in our weaknesses. So may all be done and lead to your glory. In Christ Jesus we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Let us read and hear in God's word this morning the law of God, a rule of thankfulness for our lives, even as he first gave it unto Israel. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of God. May his blessing rest on it and upon our ears and our hearts, that we may truly hear. And our response can be found in singing again in Psalm 130, 130, a confession of our need of the Lord's forgiveness, and also including the promises of God's word for that cleansing, that redemption. Psalm 130, 130, singing the whole psalm. It's on page 421. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. My voice, Lord, do thou hear. Unto my supplications voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. And so on through the whole psalm, Psalm 130, standing again to sing to God's praise.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cry, my voice, Lord, do thou hear, and do my supplications, Lord,
you can still see what I've got here. Does anyone know what this is? Does anyone recognize that? Do you know what it is? John? Pair of scissors? I think it's a pair of scissors. Jason? Half a pair of scissors. Well, we sometimes call it a pair of scissors. Some people, if you have the other half, you call it a sitter. I know some call it a pair of scissors, perhaps because you, well, you need this bit as well, don't you? Don't worry, Mum. I can fix it. So, two halves of scissors. Well, tell me, what's this good for? Is this good for something? Can you use this for something? It's half. What do you think? If it was together, could you use the bits for something? What for? Cutting. Just that bit? Or just that bit? What can you use that for? Gideon? You could scratch a line, perhaps, yeah? Really? You maybe, maybe a little bit. It's quite a sharp edge, but it's not enough to cut my thumb. You could perhaps poke a hole in something. Jason? Yeah? It could hurt you, couldn't it, if you're not careful? Yeah, it's hard enough. But tell me, does it do what scissor is supposed to do? What a pair of scissors is supposed to do? Mariette? It doesn't, does it? Well, I've got the two bits. That's a pair of scissors, isn't it? Will that do what scissors are supposed to do? Yes? No? Maybe. I think when you're saying, you're not saying anything, you mean no. It doesn't really, does it? You're wondering what I'm getting on about. Okay. Well, those two bits are made just like that, but they're made just like that to work together. So let's see. Just give me a second here, and we'll do a bit of fumbling and see what happens. Does that look better? Does that look better? Think someone does? That's good. Just a little bit loose there. Ah, sounds better, doesn't it? Looks better. Works better. Okay. That's working just like scissors. You need the two bits together. I'm going to be talking about two things today. Two things, faith and repentance. And they're really very much like this. They don't do what they're supposed to do properly unless they're together at the same time. Just like scissors. You know what? This was the one pair of scissors in the house I could find with a screw in it that I could take it apart. Most of them are fixed with a rivet or something now, and that's a good thing. Think of that when you see those, you use those scissors. Don't think of one that you can take apart. And when we think about the things faith and repentance, faith is about believing in Jesus. Repentance is about changing our life because we believe in Jesus. We need them together, just like a scissor, some people call it, because it is one thing. It works as one. Or a pair of scissors belongs together. So maybe next time you see scissors, next time you use them, see how well they cut. Think that they're not going to do that if they're in bits. And faith by itself doesn't work by itself. Repentance doesn't work by itself. I'm going to talk about how those do work together later on, if we're going to live with and for God and Jesus. Okay. Got the bits of paper there. And so we need to turn to the Bible and take our Bible readings. Two readings. First in the prophet Hosea. Comes just after Daniel, which is a little bit bigger. In chapter 6. And then after that, we'll take a reading in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The prophet Hosea, speaking before Israel. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. This is the Lord speaking. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like men they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you, when I return the captives of my people. So far there, and then also in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll read as far as verse 20, from the beginning. Mark 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him, and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Just so far, may God bless his word to us as we read. Again, may we hear with our hearts. Let our response be again in song, singing Psalm 40, page 50. and we sing them up, verses marked 1 through to 8, 6 stanzas. I waited long upon the Lord. He heard my cry and turned to me. He raised me from the slimy pit, and from the mire he pulled me free. He set my feet on solid rock, a place to stand, both firm and broad. He put a new song in my mouth, a joyful hymn of praise to God. And sing through to verse mark 8, I want to do your will, my God. Your law is in my heart and soul. Psalm 40, 1 to 8, again standing to sing.
I waited long upon the Lord. He heard my cry and turned to me. He raised me from the sliding pit and from the fiery womb.
Together in prayer. Let us pray. Now we praise you, O Lord, that this is your word. We give thanks for it again, O Lord our God. For your voice, your speech towards us is such grace and kindness. And in it you have shown unto men, unto us, the ways of wisdom and of true life. We do confess, indeed, O Lord, that there is only one sure foundation, one true rock on which to stand. The foundation not just for a life yet to come, but also now. But we speak of these things, O Lord, for we acknowledge how quickly we let our feet slip. We plead, O Lord, that you would preserve us. Keep us firm, well set, with just such a spirit and heart that we will know our great debt, that we will know the utter hopelessness of anything but standing upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. May your Spirit enable us to keep the knowledge of God through Jesus always in mind and heart, that this will be our peace. So our plea, O Lord, today is that you would grant blessing, making yourself known to all among us in need. We're mindful of some, O Lord, who are bereaved, who go through a range of emotions and find the varied impact that such things can have on the whole person. And for some also, even in the midst of that, needing and desiring to care for others who suffer with them. We ask, Lord, that you would uphold them at this time. Likewise also in a great variety of other stressful and demanding situations that many of us meet, have met and will meet. And as we seek that you would be near us, we know in mind that you will not leave your own at any time. So again, we ask your enabling that we should not leave you, that our eyes will truly be set on Jesus, the only one who, having begun our faith, will also bring it to the end. May our eyes not look anywhere else for help, but to you. We live, O Lord, in a world, in a society of great confusion, even in the events of the past week and the headlines of the past week, most likely in the new week still to come. Through it all, O Lord, keep us sure in you. And may your word help us in this today, that we will be laying hold again, or some perhaps even for the first time, of that gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this help, O Lord, we seek also throughout your great church, that each member of the body being tested, as surely each one of us is, whether with suffering, or with success, or with silence, O Lord, may we know your help, that we might live truly for you, that even as Christ came amongst us and was the light of the world, that that light would still shine forth through his own people, that our lives would be his. May we truly be yours. And by the way that we go, in the words that we speak, out of the very thoughts of our hearts, that we too might show forth the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we ask that you would go before us, continue to provide for us. How great is our need. We ask these things only through Christ Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, in verses 14 and 15, how Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this is what he said: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. last twice in morning services, I preached on repentance. And if I were to leave it there, I may reasonably be open to the accusation that they were do-it-yourself messages. But repentance is concerned with a command of the Lord. He says, repent, in an imperative, do it. See that your life is changed. It is not simply do it yourself, it is a response, an appropriate response to the Word of God. And we must in no way detract from that. As every man does, you too have a duty and a responsibility to choose the way of life that honors God. It is your responsibility. So do it. Repent. As I have said already. Yet, I did hint at one point in the course of those sermons that this is a change which does work with something else. True repentance that does bring a change of life requires faith. The scissors, they belong together. But we may go on to see as well that true faith, if that is true repentance that requires faith with it, then true faith, as also commanded by the Lord, must be found in that changed life, a life of repentance. But I devoted attention specifically to repentance first, with a purpose. Because we are in a kind of church, when we think that we have the gospel, when we say, with Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He spoke to the jailer in Philippi in such terms. He said, believe and you will be saved. And that is true as a summary. But it has massive implications to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the faith that James wrote of when he says, I will show you my faith by my works. And he doesn't mean a set of good works, he means his life, the way he goes about life. It is that faith that makes a difference. The great man of the Reformation, one of their, we would call it a slogan perhaps, was salvation by faith alone. But that is a faith that works repentance. And it works repentance because of their initial underlying emphasis of the Reformers on the sovereignty of God. Because they knew they were speaking of the King. As Jesus did. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom draws near. Therefore, repent and believe in this gospel. It is because God is the King, because Christ is the King, that we must have both repentance and faith. And I would like to develop this a little further this morning. And I would speak first of all of the kingdom that comes, the basis of this command. But then also, as these two things are put together, to speak of believing repentance, and third, of repenting faith. So first of all, the kingdom that comes. The Bible story, as Mark tells it, as others tell it, they tell us that John preached repentance. But he did it with a basis. He was telling of the coming of the Lord, as Mark speaks of what was written in the prophets. And Jesus also, once John was imprisoned, Jesus also preached repentance and faith with a basis, with reasons, with grounds, with a foundation. The kingdom of God is at hand. If we know, if we define repentance as a change of life, if we know that true repentance is a true change of heart, is there any reason why it should happen? Why it should be done? This is a reason that is given by both of these preachers, that the kingdom of God, which was long looked for, kingdom of God is drawing near, coming near to you, he was saying to the people. It is at hand. Or we can look at what Jesus said about believing. Believe in the gospel. I hope you will ask, what gospel? We all too often think that we do know what the gospel is. We use it as a caption. But it's wise to keep coming back to it. Wise to see the way that the Bible unfolds what the gospel is all about. It's wise to gain a better insight by realizing that it is spoken of in different ways, in different places. And Mark's summary of the gospel, as Jesus preached it here, is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming. That is the gospel. That is the message. We sometimes emphasize it as the good news. It is, in the first place, the message that needs to be brought. Although, as Mark also goes on to say, or has said already, the beginning of his gospel record is that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in verse 1. It's not that he means different things by this, but that we bring them together. It's to realize what it's all about. That the kingdom of God was and is coming near to men, drawing near, it is at hand, simply because Jesus has come amongst us. He is the good news. He is the gospel that he himself was preaching. How is the kingdom of God at hand? Because he is at hand. Because he has come amongst men. He brings that kingdom. The kingdom comes when the king comes. And that's what Israel would have understood, what the Jews would have understood. They would be looking for God's great king to come and ride in victory into the city. The kingdom comes when the king comes. He, Jesus, is the Lord that the prophet spoke of. Prepare the way of the Lord. That's what John was doing there in verse 3. He brings a very different kind of kingdom. A kingdom of life, not death. A kingdom of light, not darkness. Not according to the spirit of this world. But if that is the kingdom he brings because of who he is, then those who belong to that kingdom must live by that kingdom. The life to be lived in that kingdom must be different as well. This is the king that the prophet Habakkuk said is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And it's this that explains the call to repent. If this is the kingdom and this is the kingdom you want, then life must be different. It's just such few words. Words that we can be so familiar with in life as a whole. But it's a message worth hearing. It's a message worth hearing with seriousness and with devotion. And hearing it to the extent of believing it. Believing in this gospel of the kingdom. To the extent of believing in the truth of it. That means that truth concerning this king, concerning Jesus. But if you believe that, you must set your life accordingly, which is repent. Repentance. And the presence of the kingdom of God is, we might say, more than enough foundation for this twofold call to repent and believe. There is a vitally important connection between these two actions which I will emphasize today. Just like the two parts of that scissor, they belong together and they are not effective for what they're meant for if they're attempted separately in any way at all. And we have been very much in the danger of separating them. We do treat them all too often as different things, not working together. And so let's talk about believing repentance. Repentance. Repent. By this I mean that when you repent, it must have a believing character to it. You're to repent according to the direction that a true faith will lead. And that true faith is a belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom. May I just make a comment that don't be too hesitant about using these words together, using them as dealing with the same thing: belief, trust, faith, depend, rely. They all work together and deal with what the Bible is talking about, what God himself is calling men to. They give the full picture of what faith entails. As in, it's not just a belief in the mind, something that you agree to. It is trust. It is dependence. It is putting your life on that rock that we sang of in Psalm 40. Belief, trust, have faith, be faithful. When I say a believing character to your repentance, I mean first that you repent because you believe, but also that you are made able to repent by that trust. You repent because you have the knowledge through your faith and trust that this is the way to go, this is the way of life. And you set out on that path. This is an ongoing relationship between the two. Both words, they are in imperatives, they are commands, but they are ongoing commands, not just once, but to be built and grown every day. This is the way to go. Under that conviction, you go that way, and your life has changed. But perhaps even more importantly, your faith in the gospel, in Christ, in God, that's what enables your repentance. It is by relying on him that repentance becomes possible. And sometimes when we talk like that, we tend to think of a sequence of events. But I stress again, these things belong together. They must work together, not one without the other. That enabling, by knowing Christ, relying on him yourself. It is by virtue of entering a new relationship with the Lord. We heard last week of that wonderful promise of Jesus to come to him and his yoke is easy, but he will share the burden of life with his people. It is a new relationship with him. That you can now resist the devil and temptations. That you can now leave behind the works of evil because he is with you through faith. The other thing I want to remind you of is that these things are intermingled. When we think and remember that faith is a gift of God, that's one thing that we know very well. Do we know as well that believe is a command? It is something you do. It's a difficult thing sometimes to tie together. But it is a gift of God, but it is also your responsibility. So too is repentance. And here's one of our difficulties, that we do often emphasize that faith is a gift of God. God, give me faith. We forget to ask that God would give us repentance. We also forget to do faith, to do our believing, and expect that all we must do, and we must do, our repenting. We get it so mixed up. Both of them are gifts. Both of them are commands. Believe, you are told. But there is at least one place. There are not many places where we're told that faith is a gift. There are multitudes of places where we're told to believe. But there is one place where repentance is also spoken of as a gift. When Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter, he speaks of those, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. And if it is founded on belief and trust and faith, which we do know well to be God's gift, then it must also be God's gift as well. These are intermingled. They are inextricably linked. They cannot be taken apart. It's a scissor with a rivet, not a screw, that we would so quickly take out. It is believing repentance that we must have. But it is also repenting faith. We can say similar things under this heading. Remember that there is an object to this belief, the faith. It is stated, believe in the gospel. Many of you will know, at least in the words you will know, a verse that tells us, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. But very shortly after that, Jesus also said, he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There too, Jesus is collecting together believing and deeds, works, life. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. In the first place, Jesus spoke there of the failure to repent, and then about those who do the truth, those who have repented. But as Jesus put it together there, John 3, verse 18 to 21, he shows that not believing means that you don't repent of the ways of evil. Yet, at the end of that, he also showed what would be the effect of believing, of having faith. It would be that new life, deeds that have been done in God. You see, true faith, the faith that the Bible speaks of, this believing that Jesus spoke of, is a faith that brings about a repentant life, a change of life. I mentioned earlier that James wrote, I will show you my faith by my works. These things were evident also as God spoke to his people in Hosea chapter 6. There was a call to turn again to the Lord. But did you see the basis for that? Those to whom God spoke would turn to him because of relationship with him, because they could trust in him as they could trust in no one else. Change of life belongs with trust in God. Or, as Paul suggests when writing to Timothy, again in the second letter, there are some who have, he says, a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Can we take those words just on their own, take them in the context, and he's talking about people who have the form of godliness, and you look at the things that they've been doing, and you wouldn't expect to see them here. He's talking about people who are in church, who do show all the outward displays of being godly in certain settings. But in many others, in the rest of their life, they're characterized by sin. They're seen to be sinners. They have the form, but not the power. It hasn't had the impact upon their lives. The frightening thing here is that these are people who can say all the right things and religious, but the evidence of change is not there in their lives. I think both Paul and James would probably sooner see a man's life changed than that he does all the right religious things and knows all the right religious words. It's a faith that brings a difference, that allows God's Spirit to exercise His power and change life, bring about that repentance. And so you see, this faith, this belief, it's far from some fluffy self-confidence, which is all that men mean by it today so often. It's something that makes an impact. It's something that's strong, something that leads to repentance and a change to something specific. Because it is a person here, it is the King who commands, who directs a particular change. He calls men to follow His way, the way of His kingdom. And it's by trust, it's by believing that a man, a woman, a child, a fisherman, four fishermen, led to respond and to follow. It's a strong thing that will wrench your life out of its old comfortable ways. Perhaps your present comfortable ways. Yes, even you, professing believer. True faith is a strong thing to bring you into something new that's entirely given over to pleasing and honoring God. Faith, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and start believing. By believing, may your life be changed. Now perhaps you say, I know these things. Be careful if you do. It's fine if you do. It's good if you do. But consider, ask yourself, can I also say I live by them each day? I have grey hairs, means I've been around for a little bit, and I've learnt a lot of things over those years. But if I don't have those things as part of my daily life, and I can't recall them, I cannot say I know them. I've learnt them once, but no longer can I say I know them. And there are times in the epistles of Paul in particular, watch out when he says, don't you know? He means these are things that have been taught. You seem to have forgotten them. How do I know you've forgotten them? Because you're not doing them. You're not using them in daily life. And we cannot be casual about this. This is not just that we know the theology. It's bad theology if it hasn't penetrated into our hearts. It is so important that both repentance and believing in the gospel are at work in your life today and every day. Now, I'm not talking about a repentance that you're working out in your own strength. Nor am I talking about a faith that is in words only, that form of godliness that has little effect on the way you live your life. And both of these are equal dangers in the same person. In you or in me, we can fall into both those traps even at the same time. And therefore I have little doubt that you need this reminder. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God in one verse. That's why Mark puts it that way. Jesus, I'm sure, preached time and hours on end, but he puts it this, saying this. This is the heart of it. The kingdom of God is at hand. Implicit, therefore, repent and believe in this gospel. But you know, one other thing I do want to say. I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon this morning that I had spoken about repentance 2 weeks ago, for a couple of weeks at a time. Now, there may have been somebody here for that, on those occasions, and not here today. And they've heard all about repentance, a hint now and again to do with faith. But we had a lot to say about repentance that filled the time that we had. I only concentrated on one aspect of this message. But if someone misses today, they'll get a lopsided picture. They will not be reminded of how these things belong together. What's the answer? Do I have to go through this gospel in its basic elements every single week in the same way to make sure that everyone gets every part of it? That would leave us all in the same position. My understanding is that we gather often in order to build up each other in the faith. But if there are interruptions, are we building? Are you building yourself? Are you building one another? If you are of the same mind, please share that same concern and prayer. Be active to persuade others to be more regular. We know that there are times that people have demands that take them elsewhere. There will be a demand at some point in the year when I will need to get away myself. But I think you know what I mean. How can we make this a choice when this is so desperately important? The King of God, the kingdom of God is near because the King is near. He has come. Are you in that kingdom or outside of it? If you're in the kingdom, don't you desire to know his way? And we come together to find that way. Now, it's not the whole story. I trust you are finding the way daily Bible reading and study and in prayer. But is not this important? Time to gather together to renew our relationship with God together. And if we miss anything, we will be walking under false impressions of this gospel of Christ. And with such false impressions, your life may be left far short of what it could be if you were under the full truth. I go by week. I'm getting there, but it's still a long way to go. And I ask this morning, who is with me? I'm particularly aware of it when I pay attention to repentance 1 week. I can't deal with faith at the same time because that repentance needs so much attention. We're coming again to faith, God willing, next week. Are we getting the whole picture? Are we diligent in these things that we will understand? You wouldn't do it at school. You would want to catch up. You wouldn't do it at work or at other study. You would need to catch up. Can we do it with this when it's speaking of the kingdom of God? And so remember, the kingdom of God is not in word but in power, Paul said to the Corinthians. And the context there is, how are you living your life? Are you changed and changing because you believe in the one whom God has sent? It's not one or the other. It's not one before the other. Both together, repent and believe in the gospel. May God grant his blessing upon it, upon his word today. Let us pray together. Thank you. Lord, there were few around Jesus who truly eagerly looked for the coming of the kingdom as you would send it. But how we praise you that there were those who yet heard his voice to follow, working both faith and repentance. We ask, O Lord, that you would work in us in this way also. That we would put first things first. That we will set the patterns of our lives according to your word. Knowing that it is your word that leads us into life eternal. That we would seek at every opportunity to learn from Jesus, to hear his voice, the voice of command. But even as one long ago has prayed that as you require what you will, we also need that you would grant what you require. Lord, we give thanks for your great and precious gifts, faith and repentance. But help us, O Lord, to be all the more diligent to cultivate these things, to use them as our own. We may indeed be truly faithful, not just as the morning mist. Lord, do hear, bless us, grant forgiveness. May we be shining light wherever you have placed us. May we know the peace of Christ ruling amongst us in one body for his glory. Do accept us, we pray, again asking it only in him for his sake. Amen. Our closing praise is Psalm 85. Psalm 85 on page 113, starting at verse 8 to the end of the psalm, verse 13. I will hear what God the Lord says. To his saints he offers peace. But his people must not wander and return to foolishness. I'm through to the end of the psalm. Psalm 85, verse 8 to 13, we stand to sing and remain standing after that for the benediction.
I will hear what God the Lord says to his saints. He offers peace, but his people must not wander and return to foolishness. Surely for all those who fear
May the Lord grant his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.